There are many reasons for which we come here to gather in this place, that we set the alarm on Saturday night and get up on Sunday morning to come here to sit surrounded by these prayer-soaked walls. Because in this room, we can be honest about life, both the good and the hard. Otis Moss III remembers his father, Otis Moss Jr., prominent preacher and well-known civil rights leader, talking about a church member for which the entire family was close, that every time he would ask her that well-worn question of every day, "How are you doing?" she always had the same answer. That she never said just, "Fine." She never even leaned on that answer, "Well, you know, busy." She never even said, "Pretty good." She would always say, "I'm living somewhere between, oh, Lord, and thank you, Jesus." That we call this room a sanctuary because we are all living somewhere between, oh, Lord, and thank you, Jesus. And I think if the prophet Isaiah had been eavesdropping on one of those conversations and heard her answer, his knee-jerk reaction would have been to throw up his hands and say, "Amen." Because he was talking to the people of God who had just returned from exile in Babylon. While they were still trying to rebuild the temple and even their lives. That they were trying to reclaim the stories of their faith. They were returning to traditions long forgotten. They were home. But they did not feel fully at home just yet. They were still living somewhere in between, which, to be honest, is where we spend most of our lives. And there are some good things to find living in between. It's like when we go to the restaurant and the hostess seats us at our table, and we have been looking forward to putting that napkin in our lap and eating dinner all afternoon. And it doesn't take long for the waitress to take our order. It takes a brief second for her to fill up our water glasses, but then there is that time we have to wait. But there is so much good that happens in between. We sit around the table, we catch up, we connect. That living in between is where we spend most of our lives. And not only did the people of God have this experience, but also the prophet Isaiah. That while the people were exiled over there in Babylon, he was trying, giving all of his energy to speak honestly and faithfully, saying to the people, "God has not given up on you." That Isaiah kept trying to fan the flames of hope, proclaiming for God, "I'm going to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things, they shall not be remembered. Families will build houses and they will plant vineyards. People will no longer labor in vain. That the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. That the lion will eat straw like the ox." This is the picture of God's hope for the world. No tragedy, no suffering, no heartache, no violence. The lamb and the wolf, natural enemies, living peaceably together. That we are always living in between what is and what God desires. And we are called to fan the flames of hope ourselves. Even when doubt and distrust come knocking at the door, that we can sit around and see in the world around us so much tragedy. We can tell our stories of struggle and heartache. We have witnessed oppression and violence that feels out of our hands. We know what it feels like to labor in vain. We have watched good people that rarely go a whole week without bad news. And we have seen children fighting odds for which no one should battle. That cynicism can come knocking at our door. But as Marilyn Robinson says, our present world does not need to be offered cynicism as ultimate truth. That like Isaiah, we are to fan the flames of hope wherever they are found. I remember in elementary school, one of my teachers painting a mural on the wall of the classroom. And she went over to the closet one day and rolled out one of those overhead projectors, you know, the cutting technology of the day. And she had the mural drawn on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and she transferred it to one of those transparent sheets where the outline was on it, and she placed that on the projector in order to blow it up on the wall, to make it bigger. It covered the entire wall of the classroom, and then she took a brush and paint and traced the outline of the mural. That is what the prophet Isaiah is doing. He's blowing a picture of God's hope up out on the world so we can trace it. And we cannot let cynicism or criticism keep us from tracing the outline of God's hope. It's why we must celebrate all of the joy that we discover along the way. That anytime we catch a glimpse of community or celebration, thanksgiving or gratitude, healing or mercy, we see God's goodness in this world. Now, we might not see it projected on the scale that Isaiah described. We might not see it up there on the entire wall. We just might see the 8.5 by 11 version. We might just see it on a very small scale. That every now and then, a church member will say, I cannot tell you how much the cards that the church has sent me have meant. That sitting there around the tables of the fellowship hall on Thursday night, there are a handful of cards sitting in the middle of the table, and folks will take them and just in a brief moment write a note that says, I am thinking about you. And to be remembered when we feel alone, is a powerful act of grace. Or on a Tuesday afternoon, someone will wander into the church office holding a crumpled up water bill. She says, "I've been 3 places already. I don't know where else to go. The water company is going to cut off the water this Friday, and I'm worried about my children." And when the church is able to help, she just keeps saying, "Thank you, thank you. You have no idea what this means." Or then there's that moment in worship where the choir stands to sing and it sounds like one single voice. That all these voices from all different experiences coming together to proclaim the love of God in one single voice, and it reminds us of what is possible. That in a world that seems bent on division, that we can come together to sing of God's love as one voice. That we are always living in between. So anytime we see God's goodness, it is worth celebrating. That this room is a sanctuary. That we can be honest about life in here, both the good and the hard. But we must always cling to the practice of gratitude. Because it helps us live in between. So this week, as we are sent forth from this place, perhaps we can be attentive and mindful to all of the moments of grace that are taking place around us. We might even sit down and jot some of them in a journal or on a piece of paper. In fact, we might even offer our gratitude for another church member. Someone that we have felt kindness from or witnessed the support of, something good and what matters the most. That maybe with that new church directory in hand, we might sit down this week for just a brief moment and write a note to another church member, to celebrate what is good, and to offer our thanksgiving for their life. That is just one way, on a very small scale, that we can trace the outline of God's hope. Amen.